The Holy War. Chapter 15. The inhabitants of Maesol make a rash sortie on the enemy. Well, a while after, the captains and stout ones of the town of Maesol agreed and resolved upon a time to make a sally out upon the camp of Diabolus, and this must be done in the night, and there was the folly of Maesol, for the night is always the best for the enemy, but the worst for Maesol to fight in. But yet they would do it, their courage was so high, their last victory also still stuck in their memories. So the night appointed being come, the prince's brave captains cast lots who should lead the van in this new and desperate expedition against Diabolus, and against his Diabolonian army, and the lot fell to Captain Credence, to Captain Experience, and to Captain Good Hope to lead the Forlorn Hope. This Captain Experience the prince created such when himself did reside in the town of Maesol. So, as I said, they made their sally out upon the army that lay in the siege against them, and their hap was to fall in with the main body of their enemies. Now Diabolus and his men, being expertly accustomed to night work, took the alarm presently, and were as ready to give them battle, as if they had sent them word of their coming. Wherefore to it they went amain, and blows were hard on every side. The hell drum also was beat most furiously, while the trumpets of the prince most sweetly sounded. And thus the battle was joined, and Captain Insatiable looked to the enemy's carriages, and waited when he should receive some prey. The prince's captains fought it stoutly, beyond what indeed could be expected they should. They wounded many. They made the whole army of Diabolus to make a retreat. But I cannot tell how, but the brave Captain Credence, Captain Good Hope, and Captain Experience, as they were upon the pursuit, cutting down, and following hard after the enemy in the rear, Captain Credence stumbled and fell, by which fall he caught so great a hurt that he could not rise till Captain Experience did help him up, at which their men were put in disorder. The captain also was so full of pain that he could not forbear but aloud to cry out. At this the other two captains fainted. Supposing that Captain Credence had received his mortal wound, their men also were more disordered, and had no list to fight. Now Diabolus, being very observing though at this time as yet he was put to the worst, perceiving that a halt was made among the men that were the pursuers, what does he but taking it for granted that the captains were either wounded or dead? He therefore makes at first a stand, then faces about, and so comes up upon the prince's army with as much of his fury as hell could help him to. And his hap was to fall in just among the three captains, Captain Credence, Captain Good Hope, and Captain Experience, and did cut, wound, and pierce them so dreadfully, that what through discouragement, what through disorder, and what through the wounds that now they had received, and also the loss of much blood, they scarce were able, though they had for their power the three best hands in Maesol, to get safe into the hold again. Now, when the body of the prince's army saw how these three captains were put to the worst, they thought it their wisdom to make as safe and good a retreat as they could, and so returned by the sally port again, and so there was an end of this present action. But Diabolus was so flushed with this night's work, that he promised himself, in few days, an easy and complete conquest over the town of Maesol. Wherefore, on the day following, he comes up to the sides thereof with great boldness, and demands entrance, and that forthwith they deliver themselves up to his government. The Diabolonians too, that were within, they began to be somewhat brisk, as we shall show afterward. But the valiant Lord Mayor replied that what he got he must get by force, for as long as Emmanuel their prince was alive, though he at present was not so with them as they wished, they should never consent to yield Maesol up to another. And with that the Lord Wilbewill stood up and said, Diabolus, thou master of the den, an enemy to all that is good, we, poor inhabitants of the town of Maesol, are too well acquainted with thy rule and government, and with the end of those things that for certain will follow submitting to thee, to do it. Wherefore, though while we were without knowledge we suffered thee to take us, as the bird that saw not the snare fell into the hands of the fowler, yet since we have been turned from darkness to light, we have also been turned from the power of Satan to God. And though, through thy subtlety, and also the subtlety of the Diabolonians within, we have sustained much loss, and also plunged ourselves into much perplexity, yet give up ourselves, lay down our arms, and yield to so horrid a tyrant as thou, we shall not die upon the place we choose rather to do. Besides, we have hopes that in time deliverance will come from court unto us, and therefore we yet will maintain a war against thee. This brave speech of the Lord Wilbewill, with that also of the Lord Mayor, did somewhat abate the boldness of Diabolus, though it kindled the fury of his rage. It also succored the townsmen and captains, yea, It was as a plaster to the brave Captain Credence's wound, for you must know that a brave speech now, when the captains of the town with their men of war came home routed, and when the enemy took courage and boldness at the success that he had obtained to draw up to the walls and demand entrance as he did, was in season, and also advantageous. The Lord Wilbewill also did play the man within, for while the captains and soldiers were in the field, he was in arms in the town, and wherever by him there was a Diabolonian found, they were forced to feel the weight of his heavy hand, and also the edge of his penetrating sword. Many therefore of the Diabolonians he wounded, as the Lord Cavil, the Lord Brisk, the Lord Pragmatic, and the Lord Murmur. Several also of the meaner sort he did sorely maim, though there cannot at this time an account be given you of any that he slew outright. The cause, or rather the advantage that my Lord Wilbewill had at this time to do thus, was, for that the captains were gone out to fight the enemy in the field. For now, thought the Diabolonians within, is our time to stir and make an uproar in the town. What do they therefore but quickly get themselves into a body, and fall forthwith to hurricaning in Mansoul, as if now nothing but whirlwind and tempest should be there. Wherefore, as I said, he takes this opportunity to fall in among them with his men, cutting and slashing with courage that was undaunted, at which the Diabolonians with all haste disperse themselves to their holds, and my lord to his place as before. This brave act of my lord did somewhat revenge the wrong done by Diabolus to the captains, and also did let them know that Mansoul was not to be parted with for the loss of a victory or two. Wherefore the wing of the tyrant was clipped again as to boasting, I mean in comparison of what he would have done if the Diabolonians had put the town to the same plight to which he had put the captains. Well, Diabolus yet resolves to have the other bout with Mansoul, for, thought he, since I beat them once, I may beat them twice. Wherefore he commanded his men to be ready at such an hour of the night, to make a fresh assault upon the town, and he gave it out in special that they should bend all their force against Fieldgate, and attempt to break into the town through that. The word that then he did give to his officers and soldiers was hellfire. And said he, if we break in upon them, as I wish we do, either with some, or with all our force, let them that break in look to it, that they forget not the word. And let nothing be heard in the town of Mansoul but hellfire, hellfire, hellfire. The drummer was also to beat without ceasing, and the standard bearers were to display their colors. The soldiers too were to put on what courage they could, and to see that they played manfully their parts against the town. So a night was come, and all things by the tyrant made ready for the work. He suddenly makes his assault upon Fieldgate, and after he had a while struggled there, he throws the gate wide open. For the truth is, those gates were but weak, and so most easily made to yield. When Diabolus had thus far made his attempt, he placed his captains, to wit, Torment and Noise there, so he attempted to press forward, but the prince's captains came down upon him, and made his entrance more difficult than he desired. And, to speak the truth, they made what resistance they could, but the three of their best and most valiant captains being wounded, and by their wounds made much incapable of doing the town that service they would, and all the rest having more than their hands full of the doubters, and their captains that did follow Diabolus, they were overpowered with force, nor could they keep them out of the town. Wherefore the prince's men and their captains betook themselves to the castle, as to the stronghold of the town, and this they did partly for their own security, partly for the security of the town, and partly, or rather chiefly, to preserve to Emmanuel the prerogative royal of Mansoul, for so was the castle of Mansoul. The captains therefore being fled into the castle, the enemy, without much resistance, possessed themselves of the rest of the town, and spreading themselves as they went into every corner, they cried out as they marched, according to the command of the tyrant, Hellfire, 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 so that nothing for a while, throughout the town of Mansoul, could be heard but the direful noise of Hellfire, together with the roaring of Diabolus's drum. And now did the clouds hang black over Mansoul, nor to reason did anything but ruin seem to attend it. Diabolus also quartered his soldiers in the houses of the inhabitants of the town of Mansoul. Yeah, the subordinate preacher's house was as full of these outlandish doubters as ever it could hold, and so was my lord mayor's, and my lord Wilbewill's also. Yeah, where was there a corner, a cottage, a barn, or a hogsty, that now were not full of these vermin? Yeah, they turned the men of the town out of their houses, and would lie in their beds, and sit at their tables themselves. Ah, poor Mansoul! Now thou feelest the fruits of sin, and what venom was in the flattering words of Mr. Carnal Security. They made great havoc of whatever they laid their hands on. Yeah, they fired the town in several places. Many young children also were by them dashed in pieces. Yeah, those that were yet unborn they destroyed in their mother's wombs. For you must needs think that it could not now be otherwise. For what conscience, what pity, what bowels of compassion can any expect at the hands of outlandish doubters? Many in man's soul that were women. Both young and old, they forced, ravished, and beast-like abused. So that they swooned, miscarried, and many of them died, and so lay at the top of every street, and in all by places of the town. And now did Mansoul seem to be nothing but a den of dragons, an emblem of hell, and a place of total darkness. Now did Mansoul lie almost like the barren wilderness, nothing but nettles, briars, thorns, weeds, and stinking things seemed now to cover the face of Mansoul. I told you before, how that these Diabolonian doubters turned the men of Mansoul out of their beds. And now I will add, they wounded them, they mauled them, yeah, and almost brained many of them. Many did I say, yeah, most, if not all of them. Mr. Conscience they so wounded, yeah, and his wounds so festered, that he could have no ease day nor night, but lay as if continually upon a rack. But that Shaddai rules all, certainly they had slain him outright. Mr. Lord Mayor they so abused that they almost put out his eyes, and had not my Lord Wilbewill got into the castle, they intended to have chopped him all to pieces, for they did look upon him, as his heart now stood, to be one of the very worst that was in Mansoul against Diabolus and his crew. And indeed he hath shown himself a man, and more of his exploits you will hear of afterwards. Now a man might have walked for days together in Mansoul, and scarcely have seen one in the town that looked like a religious man. Oh, the fearful state of Mansoul now! Now every corner swarmed with outlandish doubters. Redcoats and blackcoats walked the town by clusters, and filled up all the houses with hideous noises, vain songs, lying stories, and blasphemous language against Shaddai and his son. Now, also, those Diabolonians that lurked in the walls and dens and holes that were in the town of Mansoul, came forth and showed themselves, yeah, walked with open face in company with the doubters that were in Mansoul. Yeah, they had more boldness now to walk the streets, to haunt the houses, and to show themselves abroad, than had any of the honest inhabitants of the now woeful town of Mansoul. But Diabolus and his outlandish men were not at peace in Mansoul, for they were not there entertained as were the captains and forces of Emmanuel. The townsmen did browbeat them what they could, nor did they partake or make story of any of the necessaries of Mansoul. But that which they seized on against the townsmen's will, what they could they hid from them, and what they could not they had with an ill will. They, poor hearts, had rather have had their room than their company, but they were at present their captives, and their captives for the present they were forced to be. But, I say, they discountenanced them as much as they were able, and showed them all the dislike that they could. The captains also from the castle did hold them in continual play with their slings, to the chasing and fretting of the minds of the enemies. True, Diabolus made a great many attempts to have broken open the gates of the castle, but Mr. Godly Fear was made the keeper of that, and he was a man of that courage, conduct, and valor, that it was in vain, as long as life lasted within him, to think to do that work though mostly desired, wherefore all the attempts that Diabolus made against him were fruitless. I have wished sometimes that that man had had the whole rule of the town of Mansoul. Well, this was the condition of the town of Mansoul for about 2 years and a half. The body of the town was the seat of war. The people of the town were driven into holes, and the glory of Mansoul was laid in the dust. What rest then could be to the inhabitants? What peace could Mansoul have? And what sun could shine upon it? Had the enemy lain so long without in the plain against the town, it had been enough to have famished them. But now when they shall be within, when the town shall be their tent, their trench, and fort against the castle that was in the town when the town shall be against the town, and shall serve to be a defense to the enemies of her strength and life. I say, when they shall make use of the forts, and town holds, to secure themselves in. Even till they shall take, spoil, and demolish the castle. This was terrible, and yet this was now the state of the town of Mansoul. After the town of Mansoul had been in this sad and lamentable condition for so long a time as I have told you, and no petitions that they presented their prince with, all this while, could prevail. The inhabitants of the town, to wit, the elders and chief of Mansoul gathered together, and after some time spent in condoling their miserable state, and this miserable judgment coming upon them, they agreed together to draw up yet another petition, and to send it away to Emmanuel for relief. But Mr. Godly Fear stood up, and answered that he knew that his lord the prince never did, nor ever would receive a petition for these matters from the hand of any whoever, unless the Lord Secretary's hand was to it. And this, quoth he, is the reason that you prevailed not all this while. Then they said they would draw up one, and get the Lord Secretary's hand to it. But Mr. Godly Fear answered again, that he knew also that the Lord Secretary would not set his hand to any petition that himself had not an hand in composing and drawing up. And besides, said he, the prince doth know my Lord Secretary's hand from all the hands in the world. Wherefore he cannot be deceived by any pretense whatever. Wherefore my advice is that you go to my lord, and implore him to lend you his aid. Now he did yet abide in the castle where all the captains and men-at-arms were. So they heartily thanked Mr. Godly Fear, took his counsel, and did as he had bidden them. So they went and came to my lord, and made known the cause of their coming to him, to wit, that since Mansoul was in so deplorable a condition, His Highness would be pleased to undertake to draw up a petition for them to Emmanuel, the son of the mighty Shaddai, and to their king and his father by him. Then said the secretary to them, What petition is it that you would have me draw up for you? But they said, Our Lord knows best the state and condition of the town of Mansoul, and how we are backslidden and degenerated from the prince. Thou also knowest who has come up to war against us, and how Mansoul is now the seat of war. My Lord knows, moreover, what barbarous usages our men, women, and children have suffered at their hands, and how our homebred Diabolonians do walk now with more boldness than dare the townsmen in the streets of Mansoul. Let our Lord, therefore, according to the wisdom of God that is in him, draw up a petition for his poor servants to our Prince Emmanuel. Well, said the Lord Secretary, I will draw up a petition for you, and will also set my hand thereto. Then said they, But when shall we call for it at the hands of our Lord? But he answered, Yourselves must be present at the doing of it. Yea, you must put your desires to it. True, the hand and pen shall be mine, but the ink and paper must be yours, else how can you say it is your petition? Nor have I need to petition for myself, because I have not offended. He also added as followeth, No petition goes from me in my name to the prince, and so to his father by him, but when the people that are chiefly concerned therein do join in heart and soul in the matter, for that must be inserted therein. So they did heartily agree with the sentence of the Lord, and a petition was forthwith drawn up for them. But now who should carry it? That was next. But the secretary advised that Captain Credence should carry it, for he was a well-spoken man. They, therefore, called for him, and propounded to him the business. Well, said the captain, I gladly accept of the motion, and though I am lame, I will do this business for you with as much speed, and as well as I can. The contents of the petition were to this purpose. O our Lord, and Sovereign Prince Emmanuel, the potent, the long-suffering Prince, grace is poured into thy lips, and to thee belongs mercy and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against thee. We who are no more worthy to be called thy Mansoul, nor yet fit to partake of common benefits, do beseech thee, and thy Father by thee to do away our transgressions. We confess that thou mightest cast us away for them, but do it not for thy name's sake. Let the Lord rather take an opportunity at our miserable condition, to let out his bowels and compassions to us. We are compassed on every side, Lord, our own backslidings reprove us. Our Diabolonians within our town fright us, and the army of the angel of the bottomless pit distresses us. Thy grace can be our salvation, and whither to go but to thee we know not. Furthermore, O gracious prince, we have weakened our captains, and they are discouraged, sick, and of late some of them grievously worsted and beaten out of the field by the power and force of the tyrant. Yea, even those of our captains in whose valor we did formerly use to put most of our confidence, they are as wounded men. Besides, Lord, our enemies are lively, and they are strong, they vaunt and boast themselves, and do threaten to part us among themselves for a booty. They are fallen also upon us, Lord, with many thousand doubters, such as with whom we cannot tell what to do. They are all grim-looked, and unmerciful ones, and they bid defiance to us and thee. Our wisdom is gone, our power is gone, because thou art departed from us, nor have we what we may call ours but sin, shame, and confusion of face for sin. Take pity upon us, O Lord, take pity upon us, thy miserable town of Mansoul, and save us out of the hands of our enemies. Amen. This petition, as was touched afore, was handed by the Lord's secretary, and carried to the court by the brave and most stout Captain Credence. Now he carried it out at Mouth Gate, for that, as I said, was the sally port of the town, and he went and came to Emmanuel with it. Now how it came out, I do not know, but for certain it did, and that so far as to reach the ears of Diabolus. Thus I conclude, because that the tyrant had it presently by the end, and charged the town of Mansoul with it, saying, Thou rebellious and stubborn-hearted Mansoul, I will make thee to leave off petitioning. Art thou yet for petitioning? I will make thee to leave. Yea, he also knew who the messenger was that carried the petition to the prince, and it made him both to fear and rage. Wherefore he commanded that his drum should be beat again, a thing that Mansoul could not abide to hear. But when Diabolus will have his drum beat, Mansoul must abide the noise. Well, the drum was beat, and the Diabolonians were gathered together. Then said Diabolus, O ye stout Diabolonians, be it known unto you that there is treachery hatched against us in the rebellious town of Mansoul. For albeit the town is in our possession, as you see, yet these miserable Mansoulians have attempted to dare, and have been so hardy as yet to send to the court to Emmanuel for help. This I give you to understand, that ye may yet know how to carry it to the wretched town of Mansoul. Wherefore, O my trusty Diabolonians, I command that yet more and more ye distress this town of Mansoul, and vex it with your wiles, ravish their women, deflower their virgins, slay their children, brain their ancients, fire their town, and what other mischief you can, and let this be the reward of the Mansoulians from me, for their desperate rebellions against me. This you see was the charge, but something stepped in betwixt that and execution, for as yet there was but little more done than to rage. Moreover, when Diabolus had done thus, he went the next way up to the castle gates, and demanded that, upon pain of death, the gates should be opened to him, and that entrance should be given him and his men that followed after. To whom Mr. Godleyfear replied, for he it was that had the charge of that gate, that the gate should not be opened unto him, nor to the men that followed after him. He said, moreover, that Mansoul, when she had suffered a while, should be made perfect, strengthened, settled, 1 Peter 5 verse 10. Then said Diabolus, deliver me then the men that have petitioned against me, especially Captain Credence that carried it to your prince. Deliver that varlet into my hands, and I will depart from the town. Then up starts a Diabolonian, whose name was Mr. Fooling, and said, My lord offereth you fair, it is better for you that one man perish, than that your whole Mansoul should be undone. But Mr. Godleyfear made him this replication, How long will Mansoul be kept out of the dungeon, when she hath given up her faith to Diabolus? As good lose the town as lose Captain Credence, for if one be gone, the other must follow. But to that Mr. Fooling said nothing. Then did my lord mayor reply, and said, O thou devouring tyrant, be it known unto thee, we shall hearken to none of thy words. We are resolved to resist thee as long as a captain, a man, a sling, and a stone to throw at thee, shall be found in the town of Mansoul. But Diabolus answered, Do you hope, do you wait, do you look for help and deliverance? You have sent to Emmanuel, but your wickedness sticks too close in your skirts, to let innocent prayers come out of your lips. Think you that you shall be prevailers and prosper in this design? You will fail in your wish, you will fail in your attempts, for it is not only I, but your Emmanuel is against you, PSA 42:10. Yea, it is he that hath sent me against you to subdue you. For what then do you hope? Or by what means will you escape? Then said the Lord Mayor, We have sinned indeed, but that shall be no help to thee, for our Emmanuel hath said it, and that in great faithfulness. And him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. He hath also told us, O our enemy, that all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven to the sons of men. Therefore we dare not despair, but will look for, wait for, and hope for deliverance still. Now by this time Captain Credence was returned and come from the court from Emmanuel to the castle of Mansoul, and he returned to them with a packet. So my lord mayor, hearing that Captain Credence was come, withdrew himself from the noise of the roaring of the tyrant, and left him to yell at the wall of the town, or against the gates of the castle. So he came up to the captain's lodgings, and saluting him, he asked him of his welfare, and what was the best news at court. But when he asked Captain Credence that, the water stood in his eyes. Then said the captain, Cheer up, my lord, for all will be well in time. And with that he first produced his packet, and laid it by, but that the Lord Mayor and the rest of the captains took for sign of good tidings. Now a season of grace being come, he sent for all the captains and elders of the town that were here and there in their lodgings in the castle, and upon their guard, to let them know that Captain Credence was returned from the court, and that he had something in general, and something in special to communicate to them. So they all came up to him, and saluted him, and asked him concerning his journey, and what was the best news at the court. And he answered them as he had done the Lord Mayor before, that all would be well at last. Now when the captain had thus saluted them, he opened his packet, and thence did draw out his several notes for those that he had sent for. And the first note was for my Lord Mayor, wherein was signified, that the Prince Emmanuel had taken it well that my Lord Mayor had been so true and trusty in his office, and the great concerns that lay upon him for the town and people of Mansoul. Also he bid him to know that he took it well that he had been so bold for his Prince Emmanuel, and had engaged so faithfully in his cause against Diabolus. He also signified at the close of his letter that he should shortly receive his reward. The second note that came out was for the noble Lord Wilbewill, wherein there was signified that his Prince Emmanuel did well understand how valiant and courageous he had been for the honor of his Lord, now in his absence, and when his name was under contempt by Diabolus. There was signified also that his prince had taken it well that he had been so faithful to the town of Mansoul in his keeping of so strict a hand and eye over, and so strict a rein upon the neck of the Diabolonians that did still lie lurking in their several holes in the famous town of Mansoul. He signified, moreover, how that he understood that my lord had with his own hand done great execution upon some of the chief of the rebels there, to the great discouragement of the adverse party, and to the good example of the whole town of Mansoul, and that shortly his lordship should have his reward. The third note came out for the subordinate preacher, wherein was signified that his prince took it well from him that he had so honestly and so faithfully performed his office, and executed the trust committed to him by his lord while he exhorted, rebuked, and forewarned Mansoul according to the laws of the town. He signified moreover that he took it well at his hand that he called to fasting, to sackcloth and ashes, when Mansoul was under her revolt. Also that he called for the aid of the Captain Boanerges to help in so weighty a work, and that shortly he also should receive his reward. The fourth note came out from Mr. Godly Fear, wherein his lord thus signified, that his lordship observed that he was the first of all the men in Mansoul that detected Mr. Carnal Security, as the only one that through his subtlety and cunning had obtained for Diabolus a defection and decay of goodness in the blessed town of Mansoul. Moreover, his lord gave him to understand that he still remembered his tears and mourning for the state of Mansoul. It was also observed by the same note, that his lord took notice of his detecting of this Mr. Carnal Security, at his own table among his guests, in his own house, and that in the midst of his jolliness, even while he was seeking to perfect his villainies against the town of Mansoul. Emmanuel also took notice that this reverend person, Mr. Godly Fear, stood stoutly to it at the gates of the castle, against all the threats and attempts of the tyrant, and that he had put the townsmen in a way to make their petition to their prince, so as that he might accept thereof, and as they might obtain an answer of peace, and that therefore shortly he should receive his reward. After all this, there was yet produced a note which was written to the whole town of Mansoul, whereby they perceived that their lord took notice of their so often repeating of petitions to him, and that they should see more of the fruits of such their doings in time to come. Their prince did also therein tell them, that he took it well, that their heart and mind now at last abode fixed upon him and his ways, though Diabolus had made such inroads upon them, and that neither flatteries on the one hand, nor hardships on the other, could make them yield to serve his cruel designs. There was also inserted at the bottom of this note, that his lordship had left the town of Mansoul in the hands of the Lord Secretary, and under the conduct of Captain Credence, saying, "Beware that you yet yield yourselves unto their governance, and in due time you shall receive your reward." So after the brave Captain Credence had delivered his notes to those to whom they belonged, he retired himself to my Lord Secretary's lodgings, and there spends time in conversing with him, for they two were very great one with another, and did indeed know more how things would go with Mansoul than did all the townsmen besides. The Lord Secretary also loved the Captain Credence dearly. Yea, many a good bit was sent him from my Lord's table. Also he might have a show of countenance when the rest of Mansoul lay under the clouds. So after some time for converse was spent, the captain betook himself to his chambers to rest. But it was not long after when my lord did send for the captain again. So the captain came to him, and they greeted one another with usual salutations. Then said the captain to the lord's secretary, "What hath my lord to say to his servant?" So the lord's secretary took him, and had him ate aside, and after a sign or two of more favor he said, "I have made thee the lord's lieutenant over all the forces in Mansoul, so that from this day forward, all men in Mansoul shall be at thy word, and thou shalt be he that shall lead in, and that shall lead out Mansoul. Thou shalt therefore manage, according to thy place, the war for thy prince, and for the town of Mansoul, against the force and power of Diabolus, and at thy command shall the rest of the captains be." Now the townsmen began to perceive what interest the captain had, both with the court, and also with the lord's secretary in Mansoul, for no man before could speed when sent, nor bring such good news from Emmanuel as he. Wherefore what do they, after some lamentation that they made no more use of him in their distresses, but send by their subordinate preacher to the lord's secretary, to desire him that all that ever they were and had might be put under the government, care, custody, and conduct of Captain Credence. So their preacher went and did his errand, and received this answer from the mouth of his lord, that Captain Credence should be the great doer in all the king's army, against the king's enemies, and also for the welfare of Mansoul. So he bowed to the ground, and thanked his lordship, and returned and told his news to the townsfolk. But all this was done with all imaginable secrecy, because the foes had yet great strength in the town. But to return to our story again.